And welcome back to Push to Talk. I guess welcome to Push to Talk. I haven't really been in here up until this point, so
maybe I should say, Mel, welcome to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel.
With Magneto Mel. Thank you, Stuck Mike. You guys are doing quite well. So we've got our call-in coming in here, a little special interview with Doreen Schmidt of Angel Flight East and Jen Hotzko, who's a mission coordinator. Angel Flight. What is Angel Flight?
Angel Flight East is a nonprofit organization that we provide free air transportation to medically and financially needy patients to get to medical appointments far from their home.
And
we also help out to deliver supplies in disaster areas and also do compassion flights to get patients to loved ones that are in real severe times.
And now, it's not, the Angel Flight is a larger organization than just Angel Flight East, correct?
Correct. We're all independent and governed by a board of directors.
And how does that work? Is there any coordination between the factions? Say, for example, if somebody needs to get to treatment or something that's from one region to another?
Yes, we do partner and link with other volunteer pilot organizations. Our territory, Angel Flight East, goes from Maine down to the Carolinas and west over to Ohio. And for anything further than that, we do link with other volunteer pilot organizations.
And then how many are there? Are you aware of that? How many Angel Flight factions and volunteer organizations are there?
There are a lot. They may not all have the Angel Flight name, but there are so many volunteer pilot organizations within the Air Care Alliance, which is sort of the umbrella organization, the referral source for the different volunteer pilot groups.
And that's Jen talking, right?
Yes.
And you're the mission coordinator, correct? So what is your job then? How do you coordinate a mission?
I take the mission from the point of intake when the patient or a social worker calls our office to ask for resources and help, from that point straight through to finding a pilot that can fly the mission, linking with the other organizations if necessary, staying in contact with the patients and the social workers, the treatment teams at the hospitals to make sure that the patient is ready for discharge and prepared for the flight, medically stable and appropriate for services.
Doreen, do all of the flights terminate and originate within your region, or do your pilots go outside this region as necessary, or do you coordinate connections, so to speak?
Yes, we do. We do link. Some come with outside of our region, and then we would link it when it comes within our territory. For example, Angel Flight Georgia down south, we link with them quite a bit down in the territory down there. When they're coming north up to Philadelphia, say, for treatment at one of the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania hospitals, we would link with them.
Is there a typical pilot who does an Angel Flight mission for you?
I don't know that there's a typical pilot. We have pilots that fly anything from, you know, Cessna 172s to... I mean, I've got one guy that has a King Air, so I don't know that there's necessarily a typical pilot. It tends to be during the week that if it's a weekday mission, it's someone who's either has a pretty flexible work schedule or is retired, possibly, but I don't know that there's a rubber stamp.
I don't think there's a typical pilot, period.
Right. I think as long as they're passionate for flying and for helping people is the skill and the tugging at the hearts, and they just enjoy it.
Well, now, what about flight time and ratings? I mean, obviously, if you coordinate a mission and, like this morning, you know, all of a sudden you get up and it's IFR, is it required that the pilots have an instrument rating in case of, or do you put one, you know, if there's a private pilot that doesn't have it, do you have a backup? How exactly does that work with certification?
We do require that anyone acting as pilot in command for one of our missions would have a current instrument rating because we are, you know, we're based in the eastern United States and VFR days are few and far between for most of the year. So we do require a current IFR as well as a minimum of 300 hours of flight time.
And what kind of insurance on the pilot as well as obviously the plane they're flying?
Yes.
And then you said it's governed by a board of directors, all of these. So is there some kind of consistency standards that there is there minimums that they require that the groups or everybody just sets their own at will?
Each organization has their own board of directors.
Okay.
So some of the other Angel Flights may have a minimum of 500 hours total time.
Or 250.
Right. So it does vary from organization.
Okay. Does that ever cause, would that ever cause any problems, say, if you're doing a linked mission? How would that work? Or do you just meet in a region and then the patient transfers to, yeah, how exactly do they link? Does the same pilot maybe handle the whole trip?
It works as a relay. If we were going from, say, Philadelphia to Chicago, we would link probably somewhere in central Ohio, for example. At that point, my pilot would fly from Pennsylvania to Ohio and drop them off and link with another organization who would be responsible for the second leg of that mission.
So all the liability stays within the standards of each region.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And we rely on the FAA standards and everything. A good comparison is we act as like a travel agent. We just help to coordinate the actual mission. The pilots really have the insurance for that reason.
Now, in that scenario from Philadelphia to Chicago, would the pilot in the first leg typically turn around and go back, or would they wait, or would you coordinate a return flight for that destination leg, different pilot, different plane, perhaps?
If it's a linking mission like that, the pilot would probably turn around and go back home, or maybe they're from Ohio and they had flown here to Pennsylvania to pick the patient up and then back to Ohio. For the return trip, if it's a two-leg mission, we would not do it in a single day round trip. Just because by the time they got to Chicago, saw their medical, reached the medical facility, saw their doctor, received any kind of treatment, and were ready to come back home, it would be pretty late in the day. Yep. So we would typically do maybe the next day, or even if they were staying for a surgery. Each situation is pretty unique. It really depends on what the patient's needs are and what our pilots are available to do. Sometimes, if an appointment's going to be first thing in the morning and it's just a post-surgical follow-up, it may only be a 20-minute appointment. It doesn't make sense to wait until the following day to bring that patient home when we can get them out of Chicago by noon.
Well, now, on that, obviously you have patients with varying medical conditions, and we have to, as pilots, of course, get medical certification to be able to fly, but there are some conditions of just being in the air. I would imagine some doctors might be concerned with, or the turbulence potential, or air sickness potential. How does that work in terms of a patient?
Upon intake, each patient is given a medical approval form, and that needs to be signed by their physician, the physician who's seen them most recently and is most familiar with their condition, and it approves them. It asks their physician if the patient is approved for flight in a small, potentially unpressurized aircraft.
And then have you ever had any problems with people being, I guess, getting airsick or having issues with it once they're up there, or too nervous to come back, or what,
A lot of our pilots do carry
airsick bags.
I'm hearing laughter.
In fact, some of the pilots have their children decorate some bags
with, like, get well messages. And we have one pilot in particular, his daughter, she colors on them and writes get well and draws little flowers and
personalized barf bags.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
I think that's probably unique to your organization, I have to tell you.
So let's say that there's a family listening with a member who does have a need. How much lead time might they anticipate between application and then the ability to take the first flight? Yes, lead time.
We're here in the office Monday through Friday, so if it's a weekend and it was an urgent mission, it would be difficult to do. It typically takes a few days to get the paperwork completed and returned to the office, and then it takes a little bit of time for me to find a pilot. It really depends on the situation. It depends on the availability of the pilots. I'm willing to take on a mission that's kind of last minute as long as we can get the paperwork completed right away. Until I have that medical approval form, I won't start looking for a pilot, just because there is a chance with the condition of the patients that we do fly that they may not be approved for flight. Once I have that back, I'll try finding. I've already had a turnaround of less than 24 hours, but I like to have as much time as possible.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here for our listeners, and we'll be back with Doreen Schmidt at Angel Flight East and Jen Hotzko with the same. You're listening to EAA Radio on 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and on the web at www.airventure.org/radio.